Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of the Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. You can call in and give us your 2 cents at 914-338-1239, and you can call in using Skype also, or you can join us in our chat room. Follow us daily at our blog at divaofdaysofourlives.blogspot.com. You can also find us on Facebook and the links. See, I said no yawning.
Sorry.
I'm not that. Seriously, I'm like 10 minutes into my spiel, and I have yawns already. find us on Facebook and Twitter, and those links are on our profile page. And we also have a fan page on Facebook. It's Diva of Days of Our Lives. And Twitter, I'm tweeting at Diva of Dual. And I wanted to start off by talking about our Christy Clark and Patrick Muldoon interviews from yesterday. I'm not sure if you guys were able to listen to them or not yet.
Yeah, I did. I listened to both of them. They were good.
Yeah.
For 10 minutes, you know, I thought they went really well.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know, because this is the first time that we ever did such quick interviews before. That's the time I was allotted.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, everybody only got 10 minutes apiece. So you saw that they did a slew of interviews yesterday. We all got 10 minutes. And they give you a 2-hour time frame that you would hear from either actor, and they were both way late on both of them. So there's no way I could do a live show, and there's no way I can take callers in 10 minutes. So,
right.
So that's what I do. Yeah,
that's
just
nice
every
that
we
they're able to do it.
10 minutes, man, that's hard to even ask, like, 3 questions.
Yeah, you got a lot of questions in, though. Yeah, I thought.
Did they?
Yeah, I got quite a few questions into both of them. And, So I recorded them, and I had to upload them and then put them on Blog Talk Radio, and that took a while. But I did as fast as I could. So, but Patrick on Twitter did agree for a longer show, and looks like we're going to try to work that.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to work that out this week. And both actors were as nice as can be. Christy surprised me. Christy has a little evil laugh, and it's hilarious.
She does have a cute laugh. She does.
It's really, really super cute. So if you guys didn't listen to it, I mean, Christy's interview, I think it's only 9 minutes. And she's so funny. When I first talked to her, before I recorded, I said, oh, we like to have you on for longer. And she said, she thought I said vulgar. So that was pretty funny. So that's why her interview's a little shorter, but we were joking around about the that I was going to give her a vulgar interview. So as you can tell, it was pretty clean. She got a little vulgar, dirty, though. I mean, basically sounds like she can't wait to make out with other guys on the show.
Oh, yeah. She was saying who she would like. Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. Do you have any? I just was going to say, just say
James?
No to the roof, Carrie. Just say no.
Yeah. She mentioned James
she
first,
Austin.
Who she'd like to work with. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
But didn't she bring up Brady? And she said, well, wait a minute. That might be a little incestuous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just figured it out. Yeah. John Roman.
Remember.
I had explained to her that John's a Brady and a DeMira. Now she didn't know.
No, she didn't know. They don't want you to know.
I suspect the writers are going to pretend. And they're either
going
to ignore it.
Uh-huh.
Or just, you know, hope that we'll ignore it. I don't know. I heard somebody, I've had somebody said they mentioned what they, not if it was or wasn't, because I didn't get to see it, but in SOD they were talking about John's story and it was mentioned. I don't know. But they're not bringing it up on the show. That's all I know.
About him being a Demira? I haven't heard them mention about him being a Demira.
I don't know if they're changing it or not.
You know,
anyway,
just thinking about it. John and Roman are actually first cousins. So that would mean, you know, Carrie's cousins with John and Brady, so she can't make out with Brady.
Or John.
Or John.
Yeah,
that'd be really
weird.
Yeah, stepbrother sort of, too.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, he is kind of a stepbrother.
He's like a stepbrother.
Second cousins with EJ, too.
In a way.
Yeah, because James Scott was on her list too. Of
just about everybody. If you think about it, they're all related somehow. If you think about it, with the Bradys and the Mirrors, anybody with John,
they made everybody related to everybody else with that. That was. I don't care if they change it or not personally, but if they're going, if they're not going to, they should, or if they're going to, they should at least say it. And if they're not going to, then stop pretending like he's not a Demira. And he didn't do things while he was new John that, you know, were slightly less than moral. If we're going to pretend that he's never, ever lied or done anything again.
I hope they're not.
He sure looks guilty.
I can handle that version of John all over again.
So is there two Johns, or is this somebody setting him up, or what's going on?
I don't know. Oh, I know what I mentioned, too.
Interesting.
I want to talk about the interviews, and then we'll get to John. I did ask Christy about if there's an Anna Demira mention in the future, and she said there are two. And I'm the first one who broke that.
Very cool.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, I mean, it's Carrie. I'm going to ask about Anna. Because I know everyone wants Anna back. And and she is interested in working with Leanne Hunley. And as I said, you know, basically she abandoned her 26 years ago. And said Carrie's really well adjusted, and that's kind of odd.
But Carrie went and lived with Anna for a little while when they were sourcing Carrie.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a great period.
But basically, Marlena and Roman and John raised Carrie.
They sent her off, and then somebody else came and played Carrie, who was a little older, and she didn't work out. Then so Chrissy Clark came back.
Yeah, Tracy Middendorf, who was she actually was on Lost also. But I forgot. So seriously, like the late '80s are like I blacked out. I don't even remember what happened then. Don't you feel that way?
The late 80s?
I know I watched longer than that, but a lot of it I did block out.
Yeah, that was kind of my high school years, and I think I was just busy being a teenager, and I just, like, blacked out the late 80s, early 90s. So people mention stuff about Jack and Jessica. I don't even remember that.
I got into Santa Barbara at the time, and it just wasn't nearly as good anymore.
That's true. I did come straight home and watch Santa Barbara after high school. Absolutely. But the days was on at 1, and I didn't tape it, so.
After about 86, I was just, like, into Mason and Julia so bad that I was taping it and everything so I could watch it.
Yeah, so she definitely wants to pursue the Anna relationship, and because basically we all think they need to have it out. You know, Anna needs to explain to Carrie, you know, why she dumped her on Roman and John. And Carrie does mention that she's in contact with Anna, and I guess Anna's okay. So I'm not sure if Christy knows that.
What was that? Yeah, that does. Yeah, so they're gonna avoid. They're gonna just glaze over that, like she was never kidnapped or taken away.
Okay,
then
she's with Tony, and he's fine, too, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
And Tony's fine, too.
Not dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Patrick did a great interview, and, you know, I mean, I write down her question that comes out of the top of my head, and he had a really interesting theory how he feels Austin feels towards Sammy. And he says he kind of doesn't blame Sammy for stuff she did, but she was a young kid and she was in love. And he said he doesn't think of her as a bad person, but he doesn't necessarily trust her. But at the same time, too, he admires her, but she goes out and gets what she wants. You know, she's aggressive. And I thought that was really interesting. Because I never understood why Austin, you know, if he gets rejected by Carrie, first person he jumps into bed with is Sammy. And I never understood that. But I mean, she raped him. She passed Will off as his kid for a couple years. I mean, you usually don't get past that, you know, when someone betrays you like that. So, you know, I never really understood why Austin always ran back to Sammy. Because he never loved her. So that really never made any sense to me. But he explained it really well. And it sounds like this musical review is going to be pretty cool during the Day of Day. It sounds like they're doing numerous songs, and Patrick seemed really excited about it, and he's working with Eric Martsoff and Molly Burnett.
Oh, you mean they're performing at the Day of Days? Is that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was a big Twitter announcement.
You didn't hear about the huge announcement.
I understand. I mean, I was disappointed, too. We were all hoping it was going to be a return or some big news like that, and we were all disappointed it was a musical review. But it does sound like...
No, but that's kind of cool, though. I didn't realize it was, like, the actors. I was thinking it was, like, the Duel, like the guy who writes the music for Duel and stuff. I didn't realize it was the actual actors. Okay.
That are
well,
going to do
it.
They're going to dance.
Actors, but, you know, it'll all be about Kenny because... Everything is.
Oh, yeah, Kenny's
in
her days
performing. I mean, Wally Kurth has that band and stuff, and so that's cool. And I've never heard
Eric
Martsoff sing, but
audience.
I hear he sings really well.
Yeah.
I wonder if Wally will be there.
Wally's going to be part of it, too, isn't he?
Who?
Kyle Lauder.
Yeah, Kyle Lauder, Wally Kurth, the Hazes, and Patrick wants Nadia to do it, but he doesn't know if she's doing it or not. But so far, she isn't, but I think he wants Nadia to do it, too. She has her fan event the night before. She's doing a fundraiser.
She's doing a fan event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's doing a karaoke thing, so I'm not sure why she wouldn't perform with them.
Cool.
But it sounds like they're rehearsing now, though, without her, so I don't know.
Cool.
They were both really nice and very insightful, and we'll let you guys know when we... get a date going with Patrick. So I just want to make everybody know that I wasn't being greedy and trying to interview people, not taking calls. There's just no way I could schedule a live show with them. It's just not possible for 10 minutes. And to call her in, it just is not possible.
No. And when you were limited and that was your, you know, because I even noticed they even told them to wrap it up. I mean, they were keeping a close watch on what, how much time. You heard him in the background.
The guy from Days calls me, and then and it's basically a three-way call, and he tells me to wrap it up. And it was so funny because I interviewed Patrick last, and he said, "Oh, you're last, so we're giving you 2 extra minutes." So I got 12 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was cute. Yeah, so I got 12 minutes with Patrick.
These are on Blog Talk, and we can hear them, right? That's kind of cool.
Right.
A lot of the other ones, they just write it up. And not quite
cool. I'm lazy. I mean, for me, spending the time uploading is actually quicker than
it's nice to hear them than to read it. Yeah.
It's always more fun to hear their voices.
Hear them talking,
Yeah, because I can't write down Christy Evil laugh. you have to hear it for yourself. But Sabina's on the line. I want to get Sabina on. She's been waiting for a while.
Okay.
Hey, girl. Hey, Sabina.
Hey.
Hi. Can you hear me now?
Uh-huh.
Yep, we
hear you.
Okay, and I'm talking with Carrie. Who else is on here?
There's Anna.
Madeline.
Mary Ann.
Okay, I just want to keep straight, because you guys remember my name very easily, but I've got 3 to remember.
It's my fault.
I forgot to introduce everybody, and I normally do, and I totally forgot. That's okay. I didn't start listening.
They should know by now. Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, new people don't, I guess.
I'm getting there. Yeah, I actually listened to both of the interviews, and they were great. And Patrick sounded great. I'm surprised you did get more time with him than Carrie. I mean, Carrie Christie. That's why I keep wanting to call her that. So.
Yeah, you know, maybe I wasn't last with Christie. Because, I mean, Patrick's interview was 45 minutes late. So I was supposed to get him at 6:10. I got him at 7. So, and I mean, I didn't eat dinner or anything. I was eating cheese and crackers when I called.
Was it because they had so many interviews lined up and it just didn't go like the,
yeah.
I mean, it
didn't
feel like it was actors
earlier. Well, it wasn't set up. He surprised. Oh, now I'm forgetting who it was he called in. I forget who it was telling me. Hang on, I'm looking. Go on.
Yeah, I was going to say, their email servers were down. And this is the first week I participated.
No.
Yeah, so that's why, because Christie was supposed to be between 1 and 3 sometime, and then I get an email at 2:30 saying you can have her at 3, and then I got it like a couple minutes after 3, and I was told to have Patrick at 6:10, and I ended up having him at 7. So that's kind of how they how that all rolled out. So but I guess
so their emails
were down. Their emails were down, yeah, because I didn't hear anything from them until 2:30. But I had no idea it was going to go on. I'm just sitting there, you know, with my cell phone and waiting from 1 to 3 and waiting. And
yeah,
I checked my
email. You don't want to miss those calls, yeah.
It's so funny. I almost locked myself out of the house, too, so that was really funny. I went to get my cat because it was raining, and my door, you know, locks when you shut it. But you can open it from the inside while it's locked. Yeah. So, and I just shut it, like, partway. And I'm like, oh, shit, I almost locked myself out of the house. But I did have my cell phone on me, but I didn't have my digital recorder, so I wouldn't have been able to record it if I did lock myself out of the house.
Oh,
I could just be able to talk to them, which would be kind of stupid because I can't, you know, I would have to just estimate what they said in an article, and I didn't want to do that. So, but you know, like I was telling someone on Twitter, I've locked myself out of the house before. that wouldn't have been the first time. Because my son, he was 2, he just wanted to go outside, and I didn't want to. He just ran out the side of the door, and I went out to get him, and I shut the door behind me, and I locked myself out. So that's his fault, basically, when you look at it that way. Sabina, anything that struck you when you listened to the interviews?
Yeah, they both, like I said, they both sounded awesome. Patrick, he definitely seemed like he was enjoying himself a lot. And Christy, I didn't even catch that evil laugh. I need to go back and listen to him again.
Oh, you have to listen to it.
I did hear her laugh, but yeah.
You can sort of tell she's like a little bit of a troublemaker, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that,
right.
You know, she likes the drama, you know.
She has a little spunk to her.
What'd you say?
That's
yeah.
All.
She's very spunky. I mean, even on Twitter, she was real excited this past week, saying, "Oh, we're starting a new chapter." And some of the spoilers, it looks like if anyone has an affair in this marriage, it's going to be Carrie with Rafe and not Sammy and Austin.
That's what I was thinking. We all think it's going to, you know, Carrie and Austin are going to get back together, and no. Yeah.
Me Carrie and Rafe.
Mm-hmm. I know everybody's tweeting about Sammy and EJ back together. So, you know, it's like if they do that, then who are they going to try to tear up next?
Yeah, well, it goes to Nicole and Austin. Nicole always had a crush on Austin. So she never did quite get him. I think they only kissed one time before Austin left town, I think. So they could always go there. But, speaking of Nicole and EJ, I just saw it, so I didn't put them on the blog yet. NBC put up photos of their Halloween costumes.
Oh!
And Nicole and EJ,
Nicole, EJ Ashley is Elvis, and Nicole is Priscilla.
Oh,
the worst looking wig you've ever seen.
Oh, my gosh.
And who's Nicole?
Almost as bad as the one Rafe is wearing.
And the nice thing is,
Rafe,
I guess, to get a nice nice party again. That's cool.
Yeah.
And what's Nicole?
Event.
Rafe is, is it Johnny from Grease? Oh, he's the John Travolta character, whatever he is. And Sammy is Sandy. Looks like Abe's like a cowboy sheriff, and Lexi's like a showgirl.
That's a Halloween
thing
again.
How do you find these? I want to.
These are on Sony. They're on the Sony.
The Soap
website.
City. Yeah.
Okay. You'll have to send
me. Danny. That's his name. Danny. Danny and Sandy.
Danny and Sandy.
Yeah, I couldn't remember his name. What else was there? Melanie and Abby are both French maids. Yeah, that was an accident. Maggie has some kind of grandma's costume. Yeah, Maggie has some kind of like an old school movie star look, but they really didn't say who she was. Oh, Bo and Hope. Bo is Jack Sparrow, and Hope is like a woman on the ship. Caroline is actually a cat, and
Caroline's
see her makeup.
Outfit is great.
I mean, Caroline actually has the best outfit. Yeah, Caroline actually has the best outfit, I think. Yeah.
Oh,
I can't remember anybody else.
Where is this posted?
So,
I'm
going
to have to look at that.
The NBC board or Sony? You said the Sony board.
No, Sony. The Sony
website.
Yeah, like
is the Sony board back yet? I know that a few weeks ago.
Oh, the Sony board, but where you go. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, before you click on community to go to the
Before you
board.
Click on community. You're right. Okay.
Yeah,
the main board. Okay.
For Sony or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I always direct link the message board, but if you go to the regular Sony website, they usually have that stupid poll in the right corner. You know, they always have a stupid poll question. They have a couple of interviews or some photo galleries, and it's. But I'll put it on the blog. I'll do that maybe tomorrow. But so that's out there. So you have
probably
really
not making
the pictures. Especially to see Caroline's makeup is just unbelievable. It looks really cool on her.
Not to change subject, but I want to go back to what you were talking about, the Day of Days and the singing that they're going to do, performing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so disappointed that I'm going to miss that. But what I was thinking, we need to get on Twitter and try to get the writers interested in putting them singing in the storyline, all of them, or specific Patrick, but definitely if any of them that can sing and perform like that, I think that'd be exciting and fun for them to throw that in there somewhere. I thought it would be neat for Austin to sing this to Carrie.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I did tell Patrick that One Life to Live, every May did a musical episode.
Yeah.
So sounded really interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's exactly what prompted that in my head. I was like, well, wow, we should totally bombard the writers now with that information and say we really are interested in hearing them sing and perform.
Yeah, well, like I said, John was on the line from Drupal listening. Maybe he took a note. So we'll see. Yeah, but I think that'd be great. And it's kind of bizarre. You have all these talented people on there, and basically the only ones you get to sing really are Nadia and the Hazes. So
part of the problem is the rights. They have to pay.
Yeah.
The copy or whatever it's called, intellectual property.
They say that's why they don't do it anymore.
They have to pay. So it's only the things that are like classics where that has worn off or expired or whatever you want to call it, or things that are originals that like the in-house Dave's people write. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that's part of it probably, that they just, because they didn't even really have Nadia sing that much, and, you know, she could have performed, like at a club like Doug's Place, you know, when Doug used to perform
yeah.
and stuff, and Liz Chandler and all that. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, with, yeah, licensing is a problem, but One Life, I believe all their songs were original. So I think they did, might have done a little bit of Chicago. They ripped off Chicago the first year they did it. But, yeah, I mean, since Courtney likes to compose music, I mean, why not? And besides, I think, well, like, Curse could play one of his songs, and
mm-hmm.
Patrick has his own music, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Have you heard it yet?
No, I haven't heard Patrick sing yet.
Yeah, if you go to the website, Something Masses, my iPod, I had it updated, so I lost all of my stuff. It's very current now, and I don't have all the back stuff, so, I can find it very easily on here. The Sleeping Masses. If you go to... Yeah, thesleepingmasses.com.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front page is the latest video. And he's singing.
Okay.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, we also actually do have a Diva of Dual YouTube page. So you may want to hear any Wally Curse music with Curse and Taylor. You can, I think, favorite a couple of those. And if you do a search on the Diva blog, I do have a couple of them embedded, too. So maybe it's interested in seeing any Wally Curse videos. So, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, he's sounding really excited. So, you know, if he's excited, I'm excited. So,
oh, yeah.
It's cool. But, yeah, I'm sure some fans are going to tape it. It's going to end up on YouTube anyway. So,
some
of us who can't go to the Day of Days events, that'd be, you know, we'll still be able to see it.
Everybody's going to
see
what
I can do.
Yeah,
awesome.
Marianne's on the case.
Are all three of you going?
Marianne's going.
I'm going.
I'm trying to go.
I'm
trying
going.
To arrange my work situation so that I can go, but so far not yet.
I'm planning on going to the Atlanta. DCE that's going to be here in April, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I just don't know who all is coming except for there's only one.
Who's confirmed for that?
That would be.
Is that a book signing? What is that? Is that a book signing or what is
that? No, that's a charity.
It's one
a charity event. Oh, a charity event.
And,
okay.
Yeah. And it's
who's
Sean
confirmed?
Christian is only one confirmed.
Oh, okay.
I was going to say, who's all there? You don't really know who's all coming?
That's the only
one
that's
Christian.
Confirmed.
Yeah.
Sean Christian.
Oh, okay. Oh,
he's the only one. I believe that's the one. I'm trying to find out. Too many things saved in here.
Okay, well, I miss Fridays, and I know well, you guys miss the show this week. I know Anna wants to talk about
I watched
this.
Them all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Watch the first three. I watched Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Yeah.
I watched some of it.
And I was falling asleep on Wednesday, and by Thursday, I
I think I did fall asleep. I did fall asleep, I think, on Thursday's episode. I was sick. Oh, you can tell I'm still sick. I'm on antibiotics for the third time in 2 months.
Yeah,
and,
some days are better than others. But...
Yeah, so I fell asleep Thursday, I think, and then Friday I was waiting for the interviews and I missed it.
Well,
but
I heard on.
Madison, I mean, I just can't like her. I mean, I gave her a fair shot. But, I mean, with her being such a bitch to Kate, I mean, like, 24, like even when Kate's not there, she's being a bitch.
I know.
It's, like,
it's unnecessary.
It's really unnecessary. And all the ageism jokes. I mean, and then Kate just takes it and doesn't say anything. And that really pisses me off. I mean, if you just, like, slapped her once in a while, I'd be pretty okay with it.
I think she needs to bake some brownies. I'm waiting for her to bake some brownies and offer Madison
time to bake the brownies.
That's right, time to make the brownies.
Time to make the brownies.
I mean, my thing with that is, I mean, it's one thing if they weren't trying to cram the character down our throats, because that's so annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But also, we know that Kate is a strong character, and she's not going to take that kind of BS from anyone. And so I hated that they're writing it that Kate's the weak one. I was looking forward to, okay, I don't ground from General Hospital, and I wasn't really coming because I didn't really know her. But I was looking forward to Kate having a worthy adversary to make it interesting, because towards the end of Chloe's run, it was almost like she was like kicking a puppy or something, you know, because Chloe was written so pathetically that, you know,
well,
it was almost no fun.
But
it got worse. It got to me. I mean,
yeah,
it got even worse. I mean, but it's like, and then, you know, with Kate kicking her to the curb about being a prostitute, I'm like, hello, Kate, you know. So I just hated that. So I was looking forward to having a worthy adversary for Kate, and that there would be some give and some take. And, I mean, that makes it interesting. Otherwise, if one always wins, it's no fun, whether it's one or the other. So I was looking forward to having some, like, real, like, highbrow battles between the two of them, strategy, you know, all that stuff. And so far, like you said, all we've gotten is ageist and sexist jokes and comments and making and belittling Kate, diminishing her, making her look like she's weak and stupid and everything. And I just thought, you know, if Stefano, how many times have Stefano and Victor been at odds? But do you see them on the pier trading barbs about receding hairlines and erectile dysfunction and things like that? I mean, no. You know, so it's, why can't they come up with dialogue that is worthy of women of supposed characters?
A couple of writers who were around to write Vivian Alamein.
I don't know. You know, so I just am frustrated with that. I don't like it. And I kind of have a feeling, I could be wrong, but it's almost like I feel like Kate's going to be the rootable person in this, the rootable character in the dynamic. She will be for me no matter what. But, you know, we've got somebody coming in from the outside and being a jackass constantly. It's like, what's rootable about that, you know? And, I mean, Kate's our villain. I mean, she may be a villain, but she's a hometown villain, you know? So
Seriously, I'm beginning to wonder if I understand what we think is rootable and what the writers think is rootable, because I get the impression that they think Daniel is rootable and Rafe is rootable. And they're not rootable for me. And I've always seen, the writers have always acted like John is rootable, and he sure as hell isn't rootable for me either. So, because they all act like hypocrites, and they all say one thing and do another. You know, making me want to root for the people I'm being told I shouldn't root for, because at least they're being honest with themselves.
If they wanted to do that, Anna would have been a much better character to go head to head with Kate. I mean, that would have been, because both of them have their rootable thing, you know, they're both rootable in their own way, and they're both highly entertaining. And so, and they both have a history in Salem. Whereas this new character, why do we even care about her? So far, they haven't shown me why I should care. I wish, like, if they were going to bring Nate Berkus in, you know, do Madison's new office space, they should have brought someone in for Kate, like a real life designer that was really fun or whatever. You know, just to like, they could even do battle. The designers could have done battle. But, no, it's just like, I don't know. I was really disappointed. And I have to say, I had high hopes for it. So maybe I shouldn't have had such high hopes.
At the very least, you know, when Madison is throwing things in her face, they need to have Stefano walk in the door. At least we could have that.
Blocking for Kate.
Right there.
Yeah.
It's just the whole thing so far is stupid for me.
Yeah.
It started with her falling in Brady's lap and went downhill from there.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that.
Although that wasn't quite as bad as I was expecting. It was.
We had a shirtless Brady this week.
I tweeted that, you know, Brady. That it's like, it's hard. a shirtless Brady scene, but is that contrived?
Well, contrived was that, yes. Oh,
it's
my.
Like, in that case, I don't know. I mean, it's almost like, put your shirt back on, dude, because it's not working. I mean, you know, and that's a lot because, you know, Marianne and I like us some shirtless Brady. I mean, listen to it, you know, we do. We're not shy about it.
I don't get is there's no reason to make it contrived. There's so many different ways that wouldn't just make you roll your eyes in disgust. And
that's what I said. Oh,
nobody's
telling me he's going to take
like,
his shirt off to
it's
clean
like
this.
We're doing this speed reading version of Madison James instead of being able to, you know, get to know the character and either love her or hate her or whatever. It's kind of like she's getting the Dr. Dan and the Melanie treatment. She's coming in, you know, there for a while, Dr. Dan, everybody was pimping him as the miracle doctor, the miracle worker, the miracle this, miracle. And you're just like, don't tell us, show us. Show how he's
well,
so compassionate. You know,
unfortunately, he's still getting pimped. I'm still having to hear how Jack is.
Oh, I know.
Jerk.
Oh, and it's going to be even worse when we find out.
Jennifer's, you know.
And it's even worse knowing who his mother is. Oh.
I thought we were going to. This is not my idea of character driven story. Having to hear how wonderful people are from everybody else. Please.
Right.
Could somebody please send these guys a description of character-driven writing, because obviously they don't get it.
Well, we were supposed to get that, so we'll see. I don't know. It's not happening so far.
Yeah. Well, I've watched 2 weeks of their show so far, and I haven't even seen a hint.
Well, I mean, I do like some things about it better. I will say
The story.
Some people said the Jack and Jen stuff was boring, but I've loved the sort of realistic and real-life dialogue that they've had. And, I mean, it was over the top that he was objecting to Chad like he was. I mean, that was typical soap opera, you know, daddy.
Okay,
you know,
well,
daddy
I didn't see Thursday. Did they actually bring up the fact that he's been locked up? I mean, every time he talks to Jen that I hear, no, none of that is actually even insinuated. She's behaving like he's, you know, this is still his fault.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I think what she's saying that he left without telling them and
talking?
Didn't consider the danger. You know, he was chasing a story and didn't consider them and the danger.
That's what they do. She married him knowing that's the part that just, I want to throw something at the TV when she talks to him about like this. He's a reporter. They're both reporters.
She is having mixed feelings now and she's like giving him another
chance.
That's
what I don't get about, you know, that they're shocked about this. It's like, this is what he's done for a living since they got married in the first place.
No, and he's always done that, yeah. But that's more or less what they were saying, yeah.
And it's not like she gets, you know, it was never like when she got into a story, she stopped just because he told her it was dangerous. When was the last time she did that? She used to go after, they went after the Damaris and Aramid. He didn't tell her to stop.
Well, I mean, look at her. She infiltrated the prison that Hope was at last year and ended up without a heart. I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. And yet she still had brain activity,
although she still
which was amazing.
Yeah, she still seems to be sticking up for Jack, though, to a point.
Yeah, I mean, like the most recent conversation I had, and I can't remember which episode it was, they, you know, they were actually being civil to each other, and he was admitting that he screwed up and everything. And I don't know. I mean, I just liked their dialogue, and I liked the way, you know, she was saying, you know, I wanted to pound at Abigail for. You know, going with Chad, that I backed off, and I learned that if I push it too hard, she's going to really go to him. And he really seems like a sweet guy. And then, you know, so she was trying to sort of coach him on, you know, how to deal with the situation. So I just liked the way they interacted. And, you know, I mean, that was just my opinion. But I liked the way they interacted. I thought their dialogue was good. It's really spotty. It's like, sometimes it's good and sometimes it's not, but I mean the Brady shirtless Brady stuff, It's like somebody was saying something in the chat room, and it made me think, I can just imagine Eric Marsov's eyes were probably rolled to the top of his head when he realized what he was going to have to do. You know, that's got to be hard.
After being on Passions, I'll bet not.
That's true.
Well, but I mean, I think he was probably sick of that. I saw something about that one time. I don't know. So anyway,
Of all the contrivances that he used to come up with on Passions, I'll bet that he didn't even bat an eye when he.
Oh, maybe
that.
Not. I don't know, but yeah. So I don't know. And then the whole Stefano and Cade aren't even like seen together and stuff. I'm hating that.
Well, we
right
at
now.
Least get to see. Apparently on Monday, Marlena shows up at the mansion and.
Yeah, that's
and
exciting.
Slaps Stefano. Yeah.
Yeah, and apparently Stefano kisses her ass or something. You know, I'm just like, oh please, you know.
Really?
I guess it's in character for him to, you know, have
he
a
still
soft
has a
spot
soft
in his heart for her.
For
but
her,
at the same
yeah,
time,
that's what he says, soft
that
spot.
Made me want to throw up because he's got an awesome wife like Kate DeMira. I was hoping he'd shove it in Marlena's face personally, but that's just me. So you know, be
oh,
like, hey, Nanny, I've got this.
On the Marlena Black show, we're going to, oh, no.
He could have said, I have a new
that
queen
never,
of the night, is what he could have said.
That'll never.
Yeah, he says, he could have said, he could have said, I have a dark, you know, I traded in my queen of the night for the dark queen of Salem. Woo! I love it.
Never, ever, ever get said.
I know. But it's like, oh, that would have been awesome.
I'd settle for Marlene and Kate going at it, but that'll never happen.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a bad idea either, but yeah. And I mean, what if it was John? I can't figure out John, but he seems really, I don't know. I don't see that spark in his eye.
Is there a chip in his brain or what? That's what I'm wondering. Or is this new John?
And he's even talking, he's talking in a whisper all the time, too. I wonder if, I don't know. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I sense that Drake is trying to play it where he incorporates some of old John and some of new John a little bit. I kind of get the sense that there's a part of him he's trying to pull in that new John that so many of us liked so much. But I think he's trying that but it's just really, unfortunately, it's really dull right now. I don't know. I mean, even though I know how it's going to end up, I'm much more enjoying Beau and Hope and trying to solve a mystery and everything. I'm enjoying them working together. And, you know, at least there is that element, even though we kind of know how it's going to end, at least there's a bit of an element of, you know, mystery and surprise. I mean, you know, it's not on the caliber of what maybe we've seen in the past, but it's better than some of the stuff, like the contrived arguments they were having 2 years ago when, over Sierra's kidnapping and stuff. I mean, that was just stupid, and that was only to bring Carly Manning back. So that was just such a stupid setup. So I like the fact that they're getting along and they're working as a team and, you know, they've still managed to make the story somewhat interesting. And I don't know, I'm enjoying that part, I guess. Marianne?
I'm having a hard time trying. Well, I know you have a hard time trying
Marianne,
to find something I'm enjoying.
Marianne, you said that you like that too, right? I mean...
What, the Beau and Hope? Yeah, I'm enjoying that. I think of all of them, that's the one I'm kind of, you know, interested in, the whole Maggie, you know, thing, finding out, I guess. But I'm still not sure not, was there spoilers out there that, did somebody, is it supposed to be somebody stole her eggs? Did I hear that?
Because
I'm trying to think, how did she know she didn't have a kid, but I guess. Did somebody...
The only amusing part of it so far is that the person who might have carried the baby to term was Savannah Wilder.
So what they did is somebody stole her eggs and gave them to the parents of Daniel.
Well, and you can guess who the someone is considering who Savannah used to work for, right?
Okay. Victor.
Chris Kosicek?
Victor.
Victor.
Oh.
Which is a conflict.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
she used to be in love with Chris Kosicek.
Mm-hmm.
She was crazy about him, but no. She worked for Victor.
So he was supposed to be friends with Daniel's father, right?
Yeah.
So
well,
he did.
So,
you think he did this
father.
For his?
So is it going to be like? Oh, I hadn't even thought of it.
Like maybe they could
so
have a child
be,
or something. So.
So it's going to be Victor and Maggie's son.
I'm holding out hope that perhaps the child is not. Is not Daniel. That would.
I don't think it's Daniel.
I still think the entire.
I think it
thing,
is.
Oh, you're thinking it's not Daniel.
The entire thing is as stupid as anything, because there is no way in heck that Alice would have kept that from Maggie. No way.
Either that or Melanie. I mean, how somehow Melanie is tied.
Yeah, and I'm wondering why would Alice keep this a secret? I mean, why? Or did
Alice as
why
wouldn't
she have told Maggie?
Dumb as what Riley did to Tom Horton back in the family.
This is what I'm trying to figure out, how this is all going to play out, you know. And do you think, Victor's supposed to be the father? Victor, oh. So
I don't
that would
know.
Make Victor and
they,
Maggie his parents.
No, they had that conversation
that.
Where, yeah, they had that conversation where it was like.
Daniel, the son of Victor Kiriakis, would be almost as bad as Victor, the son of a. Of Stefano De Vera. I'm sorry, that man, why?
What is it?
I don't know what they see
I'm sure
Christian
is a very cool guy, but there is nothing about Daniel that they should be, you know, that makes him special enough to make him a Kiriakis and a Horton.
I know what you're talking about, Anna.
Yeah, and then you're back to nieces and uncles and nieces dating, even though they're not blood, because Jennifer is not Maggie's blood. But
I'm trying to figure that whole relationship
Melanie
out, and it gives me a headache. It gives me a headache trying to figure it out.
If Daniel is Victor's son, then Melanie was married.
Philip.
Wrong.
Ew.
Melanie was married to him.
Like it was with.
Maybe it is Stefano's.
No, don't go there. No, that's silly. That's
sick.
These are people who were trained by. These were people who are trained by Mr. Riley to write. Please don't give them any more suggestions than they already got from him.
Mm.
Anyway, sorry
I don't see how they can make it Daniel, because they weren't doing egg harvesting 40 years ago. And,
45?
As far as I remember. Yeah, it was.
That would have to be at least 40-some years ago, right.
The answer to that is EJ is Elvis.
Right.
If they're willing to do that, they're willing to make Daniel.
Am I missing something here?
40 years ago.
Well, the thing is,
she just found out 20 years ago, I guess, that happened. It would have had to have happened 40 years ago.
Well, no, she did it when she first.
And Alice only found out about it maybe 20 years ago.
She did it when her and Mickey got together, because Mickey couldn't have kids. Or no, she did it right before they found out Mickey couldn't have kids.
Oh, is that when
she
did it?
She forgot that she'd done it. But that wasn't 40 years ago.
It wasn't
more
40
than 20 years ago.
Years ago.
It was 30 years ago, though, but he's not 30.
Yeah.
But if they're willing to make EJ 30 when he ought to be 7, then they won't have any problem making Daniel her kid.
And the stuff with the egg harvesting, you can't keep eggs. They have to be fertilized. And then you could freeze them or do whatever the hell you want with them and store them. Eggs cannot be kept. That you know, it's not like sperm. You keep
I'll
sperm
take
forever.
Your word
you cannot,
for that. I have no idea.
You cannot keep eggs without them being fertilized. They will not
unless you live in
be
Salem.
Viable. Yeah,
unless
they're not
you live
viable.
In
Salem. You know,
Salem
has had alien twins. I mean, come on.
in Salem, the laws of physics and biology have an entirely different meaning for the rest of the universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sabina's really confused. Yeah, there's a spoiler out there, and actually that Alice's secret is that she's paying for something or other, and they find a letter that comes out this week. They find a letter tying Maggie to this mystery that Alice wants to tell Maggie something before she dies, but doesn't complete the letter. And And we
and
know for a fact it has to do.
98 years old, or whatever she
yeah.
is, she's actually sitting there having conversations with, detailed conversations with her lawyer.
Yes.
Oh, and
maybe
this is
before she died.
Was emailing.
And I'm not
Can you see her? She was
it.
Emailing.
Did she have a laptop? Yeah. Did Alice have a laptop or an iPad?
Yes,
I guess
she emailed the day before, you know, the day before she died. She was emailing. Really?
Yeah. And
they should
yeah,
have made it
like
a couple 90 of weeks
years.
Or something. Because she wasn't
yeah,
even lucid
really.
For like a few days
yeah,
before she died.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Well, they were talking weeks before she died about how sick she was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
right.
So, but we do
I
know Mail
know.
Hangs
not,
eggs.
She was on Twitter,
up.
Too.
Yeah. yeah, we do know Maggie's eggs were harvested, and Alice believed there was a child that was created from them. And yeah.
I'm not ready to send a letter to Ken Corday. If you can spend enough money to build new sets and hire back Deidre and Drake, and can you please hire, come up with enough money to hire your writers a researcher? Because it's
yeah.
not that
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
All you need to get is a couple of those Days of Our Lives coffee books. Most of them have the information in them. Not all of it's
oh, yeah.
correct.
There's a whole history
of
Days book there.
You know, they wouldn't even
I have
the
book. I'll give it to them. just hire
day.
Some fans. Just hire fans that have watched for
me?
Over 40 years, and they can tell you.
Or at least, okay, fine. Hire somebody to look at the internet, you know, for an hour or two a day.
Or the yeah, exactly, yeah.
Stuff.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. Just, yeah, everybody's kind of guessing that Daniel might be the child, the egg child, but it could be Melanie,
maybe
though,
it's
too.
A red, yeah, maybe it's a red herring.
I think it's just
perfect.
Melanie. I
it
don't
could
know.
Be
that
Melanie.
Would be,
that
would be good. Dad. If it's Victor's kid, then she was married to her brother.
Oh, gosh, yeah, that would not be pretty. See,
yeah.
the only
yeah.
way for the only it seems like the only way for Maggie to be related to Melanie is through Daniel and not through any other way, because otherwise, like you were saying, pretty incestuous, like, I don't know.
Well, and I'm suspecting it won't be, whoever it is may not be Victor's kid.
On the other hand, the plus side is Parker would actually be Melanie's brother or something, or nephew or something, right? I mean, before she thought it was going to be her brother, and then turned out to be Philip's father, was the father. I don't know.
Yeah.
This is hurting my head now.
It's hurting my head. I know. I'm just thinking of all the possibilities of, like, oh.
But, hey, at least we're
like,
thinking of possibilities.
Trying to, like, figure out who
it's
John isn't related
like,
to
you know,
on the show.
At least we're
Daniel's
thinking of
Daniel's not going to be a
curiosus. I mean,
you know, maybe he's not going to be a curiosity. He's just going to be Maggie's, and there's another father. It's not Victor.
And Victor, Victor was the one who
you're forgetting
who
my
gave
speculation
the eggs to
from,
her.
From last
right,
week,
I'm thinking
Maggie
yeah.
met up with a surfer in Switzerland, because that's where people go and to surf. And she was in a tanning bed, and he joined her in there. They conceived Daniel, and that's why Daniel's addicted to tanning. And there you go. I mean, that's
a bad
that
tan in October,
everything.
Huh?
He was conceived in a tanning bed, and, you know, the rest is, as they say, is history. Maggie's eggs got a little fried, which explains the, you know, never mind that. Anyway.
I'm so, sure he'll explain it all to us. But I'm thinking it's not Victor, so I don't know.
No, Victor
yeah.
knows about
not.
It. We know that.
Yeah,
but we don't
but it
know.
Would be interesting.
I'm thinking Victor
if
was
it
behind
is,
it to help his,
yeah,
God,
he's
his,
it,
his friend.
He's
mm-hmm.
the one
yeah,
who
might
gave
have to
Savannah
swimmer, so.
The eggs, so mm-hmm. he'd be behind
I
it. He wouldn't have to be the father, but...
I don't think he's not
the father. Savannah involved in this? Where does Savannah
well,
been?
If he is the father, I can't imagine that Savannah would have known about it, because I can't imagine him doing, you know, him letting her know, because he always kind of looked at her like a... He didn't look at her like a family member. He looked at her like an employee. Unless that changed, well, I wasn't paying attention. But... Which is kind, which makes this kind of a weird thing, unless it was like a, you know, she blackmailed him or something.
Mm.
That might be kind of amusing. You know, I just can't. I mean, it's fun to have her involved, but I can't see him, you know, for you know, old time's sake, helping Savannah Wilder have a baby with somebody else's eggs.
Interesting, too.
You can see her blackmailing him into it because she didn't know a lot about him. But even then, it wouldn't have been able, I mean, even then it would have had to be, wait a minute, if the kid is hers, she couldn't possibly have had it before 87. So the kid isn't 20. The kid's barely 22 years old. I knew there was a reason he was supposed to be 20. I just couldn't remember what it was. Anyway. Is anybody enjoying this Donna Marlena story?
No, it's boring. Sorry,
no.
I'm bored.
Well, to me, they both look like they're sleep. I mean, I hate to say it because I really like Drake and I really like John. I liked new John the best. I mean, he rocked. And I really think the best story for him is to play off the whole being related with Stefano and everybody in half the town. I mean, to me, that is interesting. That there are so many angles that could be explored there.
Yeah, I don't
there.
Understand why they're going with the story and they're either ignoring or pretending he's not a Demare anymore. That makes the story so much more interesting. To have him as a Demare, and this is Stefano's brother, and he's suddenly accused of having
that would have been
you know,
more interesting. New John,
three quarters of the town. And,
What it does, what's funny is that Christy Clark, they just filmed New Year's Eve, and I had to tell her John's a Demira and a Brady. She didn't know. So obviously this hasn't come up in the storyline for the next 2 months, 3 months. So it's obviously not a topic of conversation if Christy doesn't even know about it. So.
Well, I posted this somewhere, and I have a gripe with the writers.
That all didn't happen.
They were going on in some interview before their stuff even started. Somebody brought up, you know, character history. Oh, we know the characters. And I thought, oh, great. We're going to get your version of the characters, and you're going to pretend everybody else's just didn't happen, and that's what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get why writers want to do their version. That's great. But ignoring what the other writers wrote just really ticks me off. And that's what Dina did. You know, she didn't like something, so it just didn't happen. Instead of explaining why, all they have to do is throw in two or three sentences or a little scene, you know, explaining why it's not that way anymore. They could do that. You know, Stefano lied. It was a big hoax.
Yeah,
you know,
something
so that I don't feel insulted as a viewer, which only makes me want to turn the TV off. And I have, from the ratings this week, I looking like not the only one.
Yeah, Dean actually got in third, but they lost viewers from last week, but they're up in viewers from last year. But Young and the Restless totally took a nosedive. So, so it was kind of good and bad news.
Yeah, so, well, I mean, it was encouraging that they got such a bump. I mean, that's cool, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not encouraging that 2 days were 1.7.
Well, you know, I noticed that it was like on, it's kind of funny because the first week everybody was back and it was, you know, this big party and I loved it, or loved aspects of it anyway. And then starting Monday, and I hate to say this, I hate to harp on this, but they introduced Madison. And it was like it became the Madison James show all week. And, I mean, I didn't watch every episode, but I'm just saying that became like the focus. And it was almost like, okay, great, we've had all these vets. Now we're back to, you know, a new character nobody cares about. Like, you think they would have learned from the Taylor. I mean, bringing two different actresses in that are both Emmy Award winning or nominated – if they couldn't sell that character, nobody could. And then you do that, and then you get rid of that character, and you bring in another one who coincidentally was playing one of the same characters as the other one. But, you know, it's like, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, if you're going to have – if you want an audience to root for a new character, you need to give them reasons to root. And I think for some reason they think that – beating up on our beloved Kate or whoever else is a way to make them appealing. And quite frankly, if I recall, and I mean, I know I'm biased because I love Kate, but 2-3 years ago when Kate was following Chloe around with a poison, you know, apple, people were rooting for the apple. I mean, they were rooting for Kate. They weren't rooting for Chloe,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, and I mean, and I don't think that's the way the writers intended it initially, but pretty soon it became, ooh, how's she going to get her? Ooh, please get her. Make some brownies, Kate, come on, you know? And I mean, and for one thing, because Chloe's behavior wasn't at all rootable, but also for
mm-hmm.
a variety of other reasons. But I mean, and even though in some ways that was a horrible storyline, you know, Lauren really sold it. It was hard, I think, to do that, but she did. And so it turned out that we all, most of us, rooted, even if we liked Chloe, we were rooting for Kate. And I don't know what's going to happen in this storyline, but it just sure makes me think that people are, you know, they might be like, hey, I hate Kate, but she's our villain, and, you know, this other person's coming in and messing with her, and so I'm going to root for Kate. You know, I don't know.
Actually,
I don't know.
I think Madison's biggest I think Madison's biggest problem is that she's got Sammy behind her.
Yeah.
That's true. Well,
that's,
you know, I was on Twitter with someone last night, and we were talking about the whole, like, we love the Sammy-Kate dynamic. And he was saying, he said something, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was saying something about, well, I wish Sammy had been the person that came up with Mad Cosmetics or whatever name it would be. And she could have gone directly up against Kate. And as implausible as that is in one way, because Sammy
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem to do much of anything, it seems like, it's like it's nice to see her back in this sort of corporate world and doing those things. He said that would have been more interesting. And he says, but I guess she would have had to win the lottery in order to do it. And I said, well, heck, Brady's her brother, half-brother. I mean, she could have, like...
If they'd done it correctly, though, they could have made it work. The same way Wilhelmina was started. They could have had her doing it at home and selling it on the internet, and suddenly it got big, you know. It wouldn't have even had to do anything with her being savvy or smart.
Exactly.
You know, just luck. Dumb luck.
Yeah,
people get
exactly.
dumb luck and make
and
money.
Like if Brady could back Madison, he could just as easily have backed Sammy, even though it would probably take a little more.
Well, and then they could have brought Madison. Then they could have brought Madison in as somebody who, you know, helps Sammy out or something.
Right.
Not,
right.
Not like this.
Plus, I don't know too many people who are and again, I mean, I feel a little kind of bad beating up on this new character so early, but, you know, when you think about it, there are a lot of people who loved Brady with Nicole or loved Brady with Chloe or the wish of Chloe, and they wrote for Chloe and Brady towards the end of Nadia's run, and it's like, it was actually really, I like Nicole better, but I was actually pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed, you know, Broey's scenes together. And I thought, well, wow, you know, they're really selling this now. Why didn't they write for them before? It could have been a good conflict between two best friends, if we can buy that Chloe and Nicole were best friends. But, you know, it would have, which was always kind of a stretch. But at least, you know, that would have been maybe interesting. But as it is now, it's so obvious they're setting Brady up to be with Madison. And, you know, who is that going to make happy other than Madison?
Well, I have to admit, the very first episode when Brady showed up in the square and thought she was the hostess, that was funny.
Mm-hmm.
That was funny.
I enjoyed
that. And then
that.
Kate showed up.
That was good.
And then Kate
that was
showed
fun.
Up, and the entire thing went to hell. It was like, whoa. You're a 30-something millionaire, and you're tossing around insults with somebody who's old enough to almost be your grandmother.
Well, and the thing of it is, I mean, if you remember correctly, Kate actually covered Brady's ass when he had, you know, what's her name, Vivian, locked in the whatchamacallit, that period of time.
Yeah, he was on Kate's side.
I mean, Kate
mm-hmm.
could have, yeah, Kate supported him in that and didn't rat him out. I mean, they haven't been mortal enemies or anything, and so it's like
let Vivian out of the
same with Victor. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if anything, you would think Brady would root. I mean, he's become gray, and so it's like instead of being appalled at Kate's behavior or something, he kind of likes it. So, and plus, like you said, you know, Victor's been nice to her. I mean, they've been had a civil relationship for a while. So yeah, I mean, the whole dynamic shifted too unbelievably too quickly, and it didn't give us a reason to be like, yeah, this is great. I mean, you're right though, Madeline. This first scene, I was thinking,
yeah,
well, maybe, you know, this
like,
could be entertaining.
Ooh, this is like,
yeah, and then when they brought out
smart.
The anti-aging cream, I was like, are
yeah.
you kidding me?
At
I
first,
mean,
it was
please.
Almost witty and intelligent, and then, oh.
Yeah, they had to throw that in, and I'm thinking, it's again, it's like, can't you be more creative than to come up with, I mean, at least if it's going to be Kate and Sammy, they have a history of that kind of, but I mean, with these two, there's no history there. There's no reason why, you know, Madison, if she were a real-life corporate success, that she would feel the need to snipe at someone like that. And, you know, I mean, in that way. I mean, she'd snipe at her from the standpoint of, you know, her business or something else. But, you
yeah.
know, if they
as
went
unimpressed
lowbrow.
As I am with the writers, though, I kind of wonder if this is a lack of money issue, that they're having to write scenes as best they can in a limited, you know.
Well, sure, probably.
Not that I don't think they couldn't have still come up with something better.
It's possible.
But
yeah.
I'm getting the impression.
Well, because
that
well,
they're
because, like,
just,
my, yeah.
They're stuck with certain characters and sets, and so they have to come up with something.
Well, but why would they bring in a new one
that
like that?
The other thing I'm getting the sense of is the way they're writing both Amira and Kiriakos families. That, I mean, even though EJ is pushing the limits, it's not seeming evil, and I don't get the impression that Stefano's behind what's going on with John. I kind of wonder if they're bringing in some new evil family or character or something.
Well, I mean, the Demiras will always be my favorite evil family.
Well, no. I just mean, you know, if they're what you said about the way Stefano and Marlena interact on Monday. That doesn't sound like they're, you know, making it so that the Demiras are going to be the ones
well,
to blame
think,
for this. So there's got to be somebody.
Because we always say, why is it always a Demira?
Think,
so maybe it will
well,
be someone else.
I think
else.
That Marlena goes over to confront Stefano. I mean, it's not like a friendly visit, but I think he messes with her.
No, I know. That's what I mean.
Okay.
I wish this was going to end up being, you know, like John's alter ego and it's evil or something, but I don't think that they're going there, sadly.
Yeah.
Unless that's the whole point of the gravelly voice. Tell us.
Maybe.
Really
I don't know.
Alter ego.
See.
Or, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Other characters I'm trying to think, is there...
Some of the spoilers coming up make it obvious that whatever he's thinking about or something or whatever they find out, it's not him. It's the thing I'm getting because Marlena
not
was definite. Saying that he's...
Oh, yeah.
No, John, he's, you know, he's having these memories of doing things at times.
Oh, yeah.
And Marlena says he was sedated or something, so...
Oh, yeah.
And he was... Remembering things that he couldn't have been in the same place.
Right.
So, I don't know where they're going with this. The other thing I heard is that apparently somebody said, the writer said, or one of the actors, no, it was Drake said that all this stuff with John ends up having to do, it somehow ties into what happened to Jack.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's
cool.
That makes me think. That's the other thing that makes me think this is going to be somebody else. It's not going to be, they've gone out of their way to make the Kiriakoses look better, but I even get the impression it's not going to have anything to do with the Demiras this time, which would be nice.
Yeah.
But I am going to complain that I'm not getting to see enough of EJ. I don't like that, even if.
He hasn't been on very much at all.
Yeah.
And having and,
the,
and
the
having
running for mayor, you know,
space
with
Abe is not my idea of seeing
mm-hmm. yeah.
Where and where we don't even
yeah.
get to see Nicole do anything except nod her head. Ugh.
Yeah. So now why didn't EJ take his
now,
shirt off? You know, that would have got him some votes.
Yeah, there you go. That's what he should. They should have a debate where he's shirtless. Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean,
shirtless
and messy
hair.
Did I know he could rescue some. He could rescue someone in a town square, and he'd have to take his shirt off in order to like administer first aid, or, like use a tourniquet with his shirt, and then therefore he'd have to be shirtless in the scene. You know, I love that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posted, I think it was Lauren. Lauren posted a picture of him eating her cupcake, and he had
oh,
his
yeah.
hair on the top. It looked adorable.
He was so cute. He looked like a little kid in that picture. He's so cute.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just got up from his nap and had some cupcakes.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, it was really cute. She also posted one of Allie with the cupcakes, because Allie, she shared
yeah,
with Allie, too.
Oh, how cute. I'll have to see that.
Yeah.
But... yeah, not enough. No, way too much Madison and Kate sniping at each other over and over. And not enough eBay.
Yeah, that gets old quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. What did you guys think about Victor and Maggie's stuff?
Oh, I loved it. I loved that part, I have to say.
Oh, yeah, the wedding planning. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they still managed to make that interesting. I mean, the writers did
mm-hmm.
a good job on that, so the actors.
Mm-hmm.
It was okay. I thought it was a little sappy for Victor, but...
Yeah.
Oh,
he brought the dresses over for Melanie to try on.
Oh, I didn't see that part. Okay.
Yeah. He went,
well,
yeah.
having Melanie in it wasn't helping me at all.
Of course not.
I guess it could have been worse. Daniel could have been there, too, but...
Yeah.
I did like whoever was asked. It wasn't Melanie turned around and asked him, you look bored. Are you bored?
Well, and we've started our own campaign for Daniel for mayor, by the way, on Twitter. somebody posted a picture of a campaign poster of him, has this picture of him, and it says Grope on the bottom, and they're like, Daniel for mayor. And so so we got on a little bit of a roll. It's like, last night it was like, I appointed myself as his campaign manager, so that was fun. And I said one of the things that he asked me to share was his personal motto: "A boob in the hand is worth two in the bush." Things like that, you know. So we had a lot of and you can think of that however you want to think about it. I was thinking of actual shrubbery.
Oh yeah.
And his slogan is, in these harsh times, if elected, I promise every pot will have a chicken and every cop will have a feel. So, you know.
Oh,
I don't know.
God.
Pretty bad stuff, but hey, you know. It was a slow news week, okay? Oh, no, he has come out with his second book. He's on a book tour right now, pimping a second book called Physician, Feel Thyself. So that's his latest book. So anyway, oh well. Just thought I'd share that.
Ooh.
Daniel? Dr. Daniel? Did you say who?
Oh. Oh, you
yeah,
can hear
Daniel.
Me. Yay! No, I didn't know. You guys talking so much.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you can hear me. I tried talking earlier, and I wasn't heard, barely. Yeah, apparently I've missed some of this stuff you're talking about, or they're just, like you said, they're the rumors. I don't know which one's which.
Yeah, some of it's just BS. Just speculating. Or the whole Daniel Vermeer thing's a total, like, joke, but, you know.
So where do I find this campaign sign? I really want to look at these. I never saw this.
Go to J. Cole, J. Cole, or it's Jack and Nicole fans. So it's J. Cole fans. That's where all the fun happened last night about Daniel. But she created that poster, and that sort of inspired us to kind of have a little fun with it. So anyway, yeah. Oh, no. I am enjoying the new sets, by the way. I am enjoying that on the show.
Mm-hmm. What?
The new sets.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's nice to see people milling around in the town square, and you can see them in the background and stuff, and it's like, it makes it feel more, like, alive instead of stale. And, you know, mm-hmm. I was a little disappointed that they had scenes in the Brady Pub, because I was really hoping to get to a point where I would miss those plaid curtains, but... You know, they're still having scenes there, but, you know, it's nice to have a few different sets and everything. It livens it up a little bit, and it's been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm. So is everybody on Team EJ or Team Abe for mayor? Because, you know, Abe hasn't done anything he hasn't impressed me as mayor. And
EJ,
he likes to do EJ. Yeah,
I mean, look at all the crime that's happened in the Abe's rule. I love that one.
That most of it from EJ.
What was that?
Yeah.
Most of it coming from EJ. I'd be more interested in having EJ for mayor, because obviously while Abe was mayor, nobody was able to put anybody in jail who did anything.
Or they could arrest the wrong people all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, EJ pointed that out.
Hope, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Even the police commander can't keep his wife off medication and out of trouble. So from that standpoint, you know. And Abe obviously wasn't able to do anything about making sure everybody's pensions were safe.
And he's helping the guy that's accused of it, yeah. Good point.
The thing is, though, I mean, it's one thing for all the viewers to look at Abe and EJ and go, oh, no, of course Abe's the better candidate. But the people in Salem, I mean, the only thing they're going to look at when they look at EJ and think of evil is, you know, his last name. He hasn't been convicted of a single thing, even though he's, you know, pulled a whole bunch of stuff, you know, and he's barely even spent more than, you know, an hour in jail, has he? That I remember.
Or has he ever been in jail? I don't think he ever went to jail, has he?
I don't even think
he's
been arrested.
He's
been arrested a couple of times,
yeah.
But not,
couple of times.
Never booked for anything. Really?
Yeah.
Has he? So, you know, other than Sammy Hernandez's word that he raped her, which that also never went anywhere. I mean, there's nothing that he's done that would, you know, and now that he's the champion of half the people in town who lost their entire fortunes, of course they're going to vote for him. So I think that's, you know, it'll be a race between trying to clear John, which doesn't sound like it happens by November, so I'll be surprised if EJ is not elected mayor. And if he's not, then what the storyline? I mean, the only interesting storyline to come from this is that EJ ends up mayor, and then he either gets to plot and do evil things, or he's put in, you know, compromising positions where he said he's doing this because of his kids, so then he has to, you know, man up.
Then he's also at least make it look
like he's, you know, trying to help everybody. So I don't know.
Then he's like the Brady's employer too. He's their boss.
Oh well, yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I mean, they could make that funny. They really could. They could run some comedy with that. You
Hopefully.
Know, it's like. They could so make
I think
that
it would
funny.
Be a lot more amusing if he ran for district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know though. When you get those online law degrees, I think it's a little hard to crack into the DA business. But you never know.
Yeah. Well, when the online degree is from Oxford,
yeah,
I'm sure that
like,
they don't even make him take the bar. And if Larry Welsh can become, district attorney of Salem, you know,
I'm sorry, that's
Now, we're really getting old school now for bringing up Larry Welch.
We're going all over the place. It's been a long time on this show since they had a really evil, you know, mean, you know, a lot of fun district attorney. I just remember the one on Santa Barbara. Keith Timmons.
Keith Timmons.
Watching Santa Barbara clips all week, can't you tell?
Oh, I'm jealous.
You know?
That's like when Justin Deans actually looked good.
That's great.
Justin G's actually looked somewhat attractive.
Yeah.
Before he kind of got bloated.
Yeah. Because he was so fun on that show.
Oh, yeah. Keith and Gina were an awesome couple. Mm. Okay, so what else? Was there anything else we didn't cover?
I can't think of anything.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something. Yeah, I'll ask anybody in the chat room. Chat room, did we miss anything?
Well, there's supposed to be that theme. Melanie and Abigail are going to show up at the Halloween party wearing the same costume, and Chad apparently accidentally kisses the wrong
one. Oh, that's how they're going to do it. Okay. That's funny.
That should be amusing. I actually don't mind. This is one triangle I think I won't mind. But there's still no spoilers about Sunny and Will. I hope I'm not dropping it.
I don't know what they're doing with that. I think they slowed it down quite a bit, but I don't know. I did see, and this might be totally unrelated, I'm not trying to make an assumption here, but I was reading somewhere where Jay, and I forget his last name, but J-A-I from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, he's going to be, he booked a deal to come on Days in January. So I don't know, I'm not trying to say I'm assuming that that would be Sunny's love interest, but I don't know, he may just be playing a decorator or a stylist, or I mean, I don't know. I don't know what he was doing on that other show, but...
Just a little note to Ken Corday. If you really want to spend your time doing something useful, could you stop bringing all of these people onto the show and find somebody to help your writers research? Instead of, we've had, two this week. Neither of them were interesting in the least. I don't know.
They didn't interest me at all.
Then we had the millionaire matchmaker who made me cringe every time she was on screen.
That was really weird. Yeah.
And now we're going to get, and I have nothing against that particular decorating show. It is amusing. But I.
Well, he may only be on
so
like
many
that
more interesting
I don't know.
Things
I mean,
I'd rather see.
He just said he had booked a deal. You know, I didn't see what character or anything or, you know. But personally, I'd love to see more of Chris. I think he's hilarious. I love him.
I'd rather see Chris than Nate Burgess. He was boring.
Nate was terrible.
Well, you know, I mean, and I don't
he's
like
terrible.
Nate Burgess.
Go back
like,
to decorating because you can't act.
But he pissed me off. I mean, he pissed me off right away. I mean, I know he was acting, and I'll barely, but trying to act. But
who cares?
But, I mean, he pissed me off in the very beginning with his whole, you know, snubbing Kate crap. You know, I get defensive every time, but. It's like, if I thought it was a good fight, I would be okay with it. Like, you know, I like Sammy and Kate going after each other. So, I mean, if I thought it was,
but when it's Kate versus four people at the table, because Brady was there too, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, come on. You know, I wanted somebody to walk in and, like, say one word and flatten all of them. You know? It's just, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was a totally, like, boring... I mean, I know you thought it was a big deal and everything, but I really was...
I don't know whose idea it is to bring all these people in. I don't know if it's the writer or Corday or Greg Meng thinking that...
Well, and
because when they brought in the millionaire matchmaker, it was, oh, well, that will make EJ look more contemporary. And I'm just thinking, no, it makes him look cheap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and James Scott probably had no idea who she even was because he didn't watch TV. And I didn't know who she was, quite honestly.
I didn't know
who the hell she was.
But
Millionaire matchmaker?
I think they were trying
like
to
millionaires
make it like...
need a matchmaker, please.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, like any Demira would need a matchmaker.
But, I mean,
sorry.
I've heard her show.
Really?
And EJ
needs
but...
a matchmaker? He needs a dating? Please. No.
Well, I've heard that her show is...
But they're doing a lot of cross-marketing, which really isn't a bad strategy if it's done well. That's if it's done well. Because I think she's, I've never seen her show, but I think she's on Bravo or something, which is owned by NBC.
Has she had any luck?
And I don't know if Nate Berkus's show
is an
NBC affiliate.
I watched the show.
Okay.
It's actually really good. And she has married off millionaires. Yeah, it's actually, I mean, it's hilarious, but some of these guys are really freaky.
I obviously need to bite my tongue because I obviously... I don't want to say what I think of people who watch some of these shows.
My husband watches it.
They can make money, but they can't find a woman, huh?
No, but some of these guys are really just clueless when it comes to women and don't know how to treat them. And they're magically going to know how to treat them
after they get married?
Well, the thing is, these guys, well, some of them really want the help and really need the instruction. They listen to her, and some guys are like this one idiot she had on the other day on Thursday. He took this girl out for the date, and afterwards, like, hey, let's go back to my place, get in the hot tub. And the girl's like, ah, no. And that was the end of that date. So, yeah, because some of these guys hook up on the first date on Millionaire Matchmaker, and which is against her rules. But I did tweet to the official day's Twitter and asked, you know, Lauren Conflow watches The Real Housewives, and I do also. We talked about that before our first interview with her, because I accidentally scheduled her interview with Lauren during the reunion of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the first season. And she's like, oh, I'm missing the reunion. And so that's why I got the idea. Like, I asked Lauren, would you want to be on Watch What Happens Live, which is the after show of The Real Housewives. It's a live show. They usually have NBC actors on there and some of the housewives and all that. And she said she wanted to be on it. So I was tweeting Bravo Andy and trying to get her on. Never got a response. So I asked the Dave's Twitter, because I thought, you know, since they're having Patty Stanger on there, you know, why can't Lauren or someone from Dave's go on Watch What Happens Live? And the Twitter person said they approached Bravo about it, and they weren't interested. So, they had Sarah Jessica Parker on there on Sunday, so they do get good actors on Watch What Happens Live, but sometimes they just have knuckleheads on there from MSNBC and stuff like that. Sometimes they don't get very good actors, but you would think they would want Lauren Conflow or someone from Days, but no, I guess they're not interested.
Obviously, Bravo's ratings are so amazing, they don't need that, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Not that Days is going to bring that many people.
Well, yeah, it would have hurt, but, I mean, you know, if we're having Bravo people on Days, then why can't they reciprocate? But Nate Berkus was totally wasted. I mean, he was super cute whenever he was on Oprah. And then they put him on Days, he was just acting like a little bitch the whole time.
Yeah.
He's annoying.
What is it about the show that makes people look stupid when they're on?
I don't know. The writing, I guess.
Well, I mean, in truth, too, I mean, you got real actors and you got people who aren't actors, and it really shows.
Everybody has a different
opinion on that, but, yeah, I don't know.
He was playing
himself,
so, you know.
Yeah.
and he went to As the World Turns, and suddenly he was playing someone else, and it was better, huh?
Yeah. So I see at Bob Hask is giving you a hard time, Carrie.
Yeah, my penguin's lost.
I don't think we should pimp at Bob Hapka tonight, do you?
No. The three best players for the Pittsburgh Penguins weren't playing today.
And that might have been part of the reason why they lost. He thinks I'm delusional. I was like, okay, you don't have Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Marc-Andre Fleury playing. Yeah, I mean, seriously, I could probably beat the Penguins well. Three guys playing. But, yeah, he was picking on me about that. So, yeah, it's no Pip and Bob. But it's time to show everybody. So I just want to thank Sabina, Anna, Madeline, and Marianne for calling in tonight. We'll let you know if we get Patrick Malls in this week.
Okay.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.